saw you at the press conference where you announced that Jeff Scusa was, in fact, the one who had taken his own life. And you can't hide the emotion that you had at that press conference. I think what I saw was really just the sadness of seeing someone like this having taken his own life.
Well, no question. And I think to say that the last 7 days or so have been an incredibly difficult time for the police department would be an understatement, but it certainly pales in comparison to what I think Jeff and his family have gone through the last several days.
I know. And I thought of that. I thought, okay, let's look at it from a bigger picture, that if the Fargo PD was just complete jerks in this process, it would have been very easy to stand there at that podium that day announcing that you had lost Lieutenant Scusa to his own hand and then say, you know, you're going to find this out anyway, but he was scheduled to be terminated. We had found this situation. And yet you didn't do that because there's a process and there's a grieving process here.
There is. And, you know, I think more than anything else, what I want to make sure that people understand is that the internal issue that we were dealing with should in no way overshadow the 23 years of outstanding service that Jeff provided to the citizens of Fargo by way of his employment with the department. You know, Jeff was in a number of positions and rose to the rank of lieutenant by way of the professionalism and the competency that he brought to his position within the department. And so I hope that the incident that came to light yesterday does not overshadow that outstanding service that he provided to the city.
Let's talk about that. Let's talk about, so people understand that are out there listening to the Mighty 790, what did rise to the point where you as police chief were going to terminate him?
Well, and I want to be a little careful there too, Joel, because, you know, as tragic as the situation is, and it certainly is not the most important aspect of this, but that decision, of course, had not been reached yet.
Yeah, the recommendation.
The recommendations.
Had come to you. That's how I should have phrased
yes.
that.
And so, in short, what we were dealing with is something very simple that snowballed into something very significant. And that simple mistake that that Jeff had made was simply that accidental discharge of his taser within the police department. And although it's a little embarrassing for me to admit, I have to acknowledge it. That's not the first time that that's happened. Other officers, unfortunately, have made that same mistake, and we've dealt with it very upfront, straightforward, and it's culminated in the officers being counseled and then receiving some remedial training. But in this particular case, that minor mistake, which we could have and would have dealt with in that same fashion, culminated or evolved into probably the most serious of transgressions that the police officers and not just in Fargo, but police officers anywhere can make, and that mistake being to engage in an act of dishonesty.
And really, it's safe to say that had Lieutenant Scusa come forth and said, you know what, that was me, that I'm the one that did this, the debate on whether or not termination was either an option wouldn't happen.
Absolutely not. Like I said, other officers have made that exact same mistake. And the way we've dealt with that has been to simply counsel the officer and then provide them with remedial training on how to safely operate.
So does something go in their file?
It does. It does.
And that, knowing Jeff the way many of us knew Jeff, that probably would have just, you know, led him to just rip his hair out. I mean, he's not the kind of person who would have liked that.
He was, like I said earlier, he was the consummate professional. And you know, by way of his position within the department, he took his business seriously. And so he was, as a lieutenant, he was an individual who had to hold other officers accountable for some of the mistakes that they made. And I think because of that strong sense of pride and professionalism, I think that modest mistake that he made, yeah, I think you're right. I think it was difficult for him to deal with.
Chief Ternus, I want to ask this, because that process of just so people understand, if I'm sitting there and Lieutenant Scusa had to be a material witness at a trial, mm-hmm. where I'm, you know, sitting there being judged, I'm the defendant in this case, and you're saying, you know what, Joel did something wrong. He needs to go to jail. You know, there is an issue here, though, because if my defense attorney finds that that very same officer in basically an interdepartment investigation lied to you. I mean, you say you hadn't made a determination to terminate yet. I can totally respect that. But the truth is, you know, there is a question there of once you lie to your own department, how you can effectively do your job.
You're absolutely right. And Joel, that's really what is at the core of this dishonesty aspect of this case and really any others where officers are dishonest. And there is a self-imposed policy within the police department where we hold honesty and integrity to, I mean, it's the highest standard within our organization. And I think you'll find that in most other law enforcement agencies. And to some extent, it's there because we recognize that an officer's integrity is something that just can't be compromised. But that aside, that moral high ground that we try to capture as an organization aside, there are some legal implications that go along with an officer being dishonest, and you touched on the surface as to how those implications could impact criminal cases. For example, if we have a police officer where we have a sustained complaint or an issue where it's been demonstrated that they've been dishonest, whether the issue was big or small, that becomes an issue that can be introduced then into court. And you might say that, well, you know, if we're in court haggling over a speeding ticket, you know, what really are the implications? And they're minimal. But if we have an officer who's been demonstrated to be dishonest, who is a witness in a homicide case, for example, that homicide case all of a sudden becomes jeopardized, at least to some extent. And that's why dishonesty within law enforcement is a huge issue, significantly different than what you might find in another organization.
Well, and I think that needs to be said, because not as though, hey, you know, you need to be honest as a garbage collector as well, but sure. You're not taking the stand to put someone in jail as a garbage collector.
That's right. And you know, as I mentioned to some in the media yesterday, there just is no substitute for integrity and honesty, and there really is no such thing as a little lie within law enforcement. Those things have huge implications both within the organization and beyond.
Two things come up, though, in this, in my mind. Number one, in the case of what would have happened to Lieutenant Scusa, are you comfortable that the policies, had he just come forth honestly and said, look, I did accidentally discharge my taser, if he had done that, that the steps that you take aren't so harsh that it causes somebody's mindset to go this way?
No, I think there will be some who will say, you know, the expectations within the police department are too high. And I would counter that by saying I think the general public, and really we within the police department amongst ourselves, really wouldn't have it any other way. I think the general public expects that the highest degree of integrity and honesty and professionalism from their police department, and we've established that bar. We've set that bar that high. And again, I don't think you'd find either people in the community or within the organization that would say, well, look, let's lower the standards for the organization. I don't think that would be out there.
Another question then comes up because of that. If that causes this reaction, one of two things from this individual, I want to stress from this individual, but you know, before or prior to any of this, if you were sitting in that chair, you would have told me I got one heck of a lieutenant in Lieutenant Scusa. You still would.
Yep.
And so then the question becomes, because I think anyone who takes their own life, you know, there's a mental stability issue there, obviously. I mean, obviously. You know, so are you comfortable that you're evaluating your officers in a way where you've got men out there and women out there that can do this job in a way that allows them to make right decisions rather than wrong ones like taking their own life?
Yeah, I really am. And I say that for a number of reasons. Number one, when we hire individuals, they go through an extensive screening process that evaluates that. We also have mechanisms in place within the organization, everything from the peer assistance crisis team to an employee assistance program. Really, I think the one thing that is probably the most important within the police department is that officers rely on one another to deal with stressors and to make sure that their mental health is in good shape. But I sit back and I think to myself, you know, cops are human, and they have the everyday problems and issues that anybody else has. Sometimes it's difficult for them to express them. In fact, I think at least to some extent, you know, Jeff was a very prideful person. I think it was difficult for him to express some of those mm-hmm. issues, especially with his coworkers. But I'm very confident that when it comes to evaluating and managing the overall health of the employees that work within the police department, we've got the appropriate mechanisms in place to make sure that's taken care of.
Any worry about a chasm in the department? You're going to have a widow who's upset that she's lost her husband, and rightfully so. And it wouldn't be hard if I'm her to look to the department and say, look, you know, this termination is what led to this. He never would have done this, and he gave you all these years. And then you might find some on your force who would agree with her on that. How do you deal with that?
Well, it's difficult because I think you're absolutely right. Some of that reaction is already out there. I look at it and try to be as understanding as I can be, recognizing that some of it is driven by grief. Some of it is driven by misunderstanding. Some of it is driven by disagreement with some of the issues and policies and standards within the police department. But at the end of the day, as tragic as this situation has been for all involved, to include really those who knew Jeff throughout the community, it really comes down to, I think, a couple of things. One, the formal aspect of this is that the department does have that high expectation when it comes to honesty and integrity. And really the other is that that even though, you know, Jeff was a friend to a lot of us, and I think it would be really speculation on anybody's part to say this incident in and of itself was the sole reason that Jeff took the action that he did.
Chief Turnus, not the type of interview I like doing with you, but I do appreciate you taking the time today.
I appreciate it, Joel.